Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were likening our salvation to a marriage and our relationship with the Lord as our relationship with our spouse. Well, you better follow along today. Foundation for the Bible. The Bible likens salvation to marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through verse 33. Verse 32 says, I speak of Christ and the church when he's speaking of that, of the all the things with marriage there. But what I want you to understand is this. In marriage, there are good marriages, average marriages, and bad marriage. There are good husbands. There are bad husbands. There are average husbands. There are good wives, bad wives, and average wives. Now, my friend, God has a place of husband. He is head. And so, in that place, he is super good. He is almighty good. He is good good, okay? There is no failure in him whatever. So, he is good. But we are called the bride of Christ. Many times we're not good, but we're still his bride. Now, can you imagine? There are people who say, well, you believe in eternal security. There's no reason to live godly. So therefore, if you get saved, you just live like you want to, and it's all right. Well, you don't understand what coming to Christ is. You don't understand repentance and faith. But since God likens it to marriage, let's put it that way. Let's think of your marriage. Let's think of those that are married out there, if you're not married. Okay, you're not married, or you are married. So what do we look at? The guy says, okay, till death do us part. Well, we make that promise. I will not part from that person till I die. Never. Or till they die. Never part from them. We are one, we are married. But since that's set and it's secure, I can go out and date other women, and I can be with other women because I'm still going to be married to my wife. Okay. Well, that's what you're saying about salvation. You say, well, that wouldn't be a real marriage. I mean, goodness gracious, that guy was not loving her, the only till death do us part. Yes. Person comes to Jesus Christ and saying, I'm coming to him as my Savior. I can't save myself. And I love him because he loved me. He first loved me. And you receive him as your Savior. It's entering an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, who will never leave thee nor forsake thee, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells you. And so, if you're born of him, you will be bent to righteousness. But you can and do sin because we still have that old nature. And so it is dependent upon which nature we give control in our life. Now, a husband or a wife can cheat on their spouse. And yet they can remain married. They find out, and one has to forgive, the other one has to be repentant. If one says, yes, you caught me cheating, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on going with that same woman. I'm going to keep going with that same man. Then, my friend, that person needs to be beaten, okay? And that is a terrible, filthy sin. That's a person who doesn't know what love is, and yet may say, well, but I love my wife. Now, let's think of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. Maybe we can put this in perspective for you. A little bit better than marriage, even. Because when we get saved, as we read earlier, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You say, boy, that's strong language, isn't it, Pastor? Yes, it really is. It's truth, though. You're illegitimate. You're not really a child of God. So as we look at something like that, go back again to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. He that is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So now, here's sin. You're his child. God chastens those that are his own. You don't receive chastening, and yet you live in sin, and you know what you're doing is wrong, and there's no chastening, there's no guilt in your mind, there is no consequences in this life. Now, I'm not talking about the guy that gets drunk. Unsaved people get drunk, drive down the road, and they hit a tree. I'm talking about consequences that you know immediately are of God. And he says, if you're without chastisement, you're a bastard. You're illegitimate. You're none of his. And that's what the Bible says. And if that's what the Bible says, that's what the Bible means. And so, we're saved from sin when we got saved. A benefit of saved from hell is that as saved people, God then begins the next work in us after our salvation, and that is to conform us to Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now again, a lot of people say, see, you're predestinated to go to heaven, go to hell. That's not what Romans 8:29 says. It says, if you're saved, you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you're saved, you are going to be conformed to the image of his Son. A lot of times there's trials, there's troubles come in because we resist being conformed to the image of his Son. Now, you see, I'm blessed because in the Godhead, the Father privileges me, blesses me with sonship. And God gives the promise of eternity in my life that I will be like him. So, I am blessed because the Father has an active love in my life. The Father is active in me. I am blessed because God, the Father, is not only active in my life, but I'm blessed because Jesus Christ promised. His promise was life, everlasting life, because he died for me. And I would be like him, and I'd be with him forevermore. So I've got Christ, I've got the Father, but I'm blessed because the Holy Spirit purifies me. In verse 3 he says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, when you think of this, we were told that he purifies us. And we were told also, as we looked at this, if we really believe, belief that is a faith acts on that belief. So you believe these promises of eternity, this new body, everything's going to be. So as you see that, being holy, you purify yourselves even as he is pure. You seek to be conformed to his image. You seek to be separated from this world. You seek not to emulate this world in your religion, in your daily life. You want to be like Jesus. And so you turn from those things. You want nothing to do with those things. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His will and his good pleasure will always be what? It will always, always, always be holy. And so, how does God work in us? Through His Holy Spirit that He has given to us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we've got that Spirit, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, knowing that this life is only temporary, it's a vapor that appears for a little time, passes away, as compared to the vast expanse of eternity. And knowing we shall give an account of ourselves at the judgment seat of Christ, and knowing that the greatest commandment for all generations is Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our spirit, with all of our mind, our body, with our all. And the second commandment is like to the first, to love your neighbors yourself. And he said, on this hangs all the prophets and all the law, from those two commandments. And so, that being the case, then we make ourselves pure, even as He is pure, heart, soul, mind, strength, body. You see, I've heard people say, well, what is the greatest command? And we say, well, love the Lord. We just quote Mark 12, 30 and 31. Oh, that's beautiful. It's beautiful until there's application. Okay? Now, let's just look at some application of that. That's the greatest commandment. If God is saying the greatest, by that means the most important of all commandments, that's most important to Him. If that's the case, and it is, because He says it is, then isn't the greatest sin to break the greatest commandment? Now, love others as you love yourself, but you love God the most. So you don't want to do that thing that's an abomination to God. If something's an abomination, you don't want to do it. For example, we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that homosexuality is an abomination. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11, we see effeminate, the homosexual, abusers of themselves, mankind, the sexual pervert. They don't inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they don't repent, get saved, they don't go to heaven that way. They can't live like that and say, well, I'm a good Christian. No, you're not. So, those people need to be saved. But, that is, I'm saying again, it's an abomination to God. Now, let's think of something else, though. The Hebrew word for abomination, describing homosexuality, is also used to talk about those who sow discord among brethren. In other words, gossip. Now, God, we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 12, chastens His own. How does He do it? Sometimes He might do it with bodily sickness. Sometimes just conviction in your heart and mind, you make it right with whoever you've gossiped against. Other times, He may have to make a child sick, a spouse sick. You may have to take them out of this world.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on His firm foundation.